Well, look who it is. It's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton. And this week, my friends, we have a very special episode coming to you from the home of the great San Francisco 49ers. Santa Clara, California. Wait, that really doesn't make any sense. Does it make any sense to you guys? Anyway, we're at Arm Tech Con this week, and the biggest theme of this year's show was by far IoT. But not just IoT, specifically security and safety in IoT. Considering last week's DDoS attacks, it seems rather timely, don't you think? My first guest is Andrew Gerson, CEO of The Bar Group. Andrew and I discuss the biggest challenges facing us as designers in the IoT space, why these recent DDoD attacks should be a wake-up call for all of us, engineers and marketers alike, and what we can do about it. And that's the hardest piece of it all, right?
Thank you so much for joining me today, Andrew.
Thank you, Amelia. Hi.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is the Bar Group all about?
So we're an embedded systems, embedded software, engineering, consulting, and training firm. Our specific focus is safety and security for Internet of Things, embedded systems devices. Big part of what we try to do is we try to have a mission that involves providing a lot of objective advice without bias to the industry, and we do that through our training courses and also the consulting services that we provide.
So you guys recently did your annual Embedded Systems Safety and Security Survey. So what kind of interesting things did you find out with this year's survey?
Well, yeah, so that survey is a good example of kind of our outreach into the industry. We do this survey every year where we focus specifically on what are the safety and security issues in embedded systems design. And we ask our engineers, what are the issues? What are you dealing with? What types of devices are you designing? And you would be surprised. We had about 2,500 respondents, so it was a very good broad-based response from all over the world, Europe, North America, and Asia. And we asked questions about, are you working on safety-critical devices? Probably one of the biggest findings that affects both safety and security is that about 20% of the engineers were working on safety-critical devices. And within that group, we asked these engineers, are you implementing the best practices, things like coding standards, code reviews, static analysis in your development? And what was perhaps a little concerning was we would hope that well over 90%, if not 100% of the people designing devices that could, you know, kill or injure that were safety critical were implementing these best practices. But in reality, not nearly as many, more than a majority was, but not a super majority. And so this is part of what we try to get the message out with the surveys to show that. And then as far as security is concerned, really that security is more of a, it's not a one size fits all problem. Security is a big issue. It covers many disciplines. The designs in our industry are all across the board, simple to complex, and that security for our group is just a very difficult problem to solve, both for devices now and in the past and future.
All right, so let's talk specifically about security and the recent DDoD attacks. What do you think are the biggest challenges facing us with security, specifically in the IoT space?
I think those attacks bring to light a big challenge in our industry, and that is that devices have been connecting to the internet for many years now, 5, 10, 15, even 20 years. But as a community, we haven't been thinking about security the way we do now, like we were thinking about it 10 years ago. So devices that were designed 10 years ago aren't necessarily as secure. Yet, in the embedded systems market, in the IoT market, it's not like the cell phone market. There aren't new devices for the same feature set coming out every year. A power meter or an energy meter or a medical device that was designed 10 years ago, that may be used in real-world settings for years or even decades. And so you end up with a situation like what happened last week where you get devices, some of which have more security in them because they may be higher-end devices or because they were designed more recently where security was more of an emphasis in design, but then you've got devices that are older. And the challenge there is those older devices aren't going anywhere because it's too expensive to replace them. It's difficult to retrofit them or upgrade them for security because of the nature of the way they were designed. So we're entering the situation where we can spend a lot of good quality time developing new devices with very good security, But those legacy devices are going to be on the market and be in use for many years in the future, and they're going to represent, in many respects, weak links in the chain of security that we're going to have to deal with as a community.
Okay, so in a similar vein, Andrew, what do you think are the solutions for more secure IoT products?
Well, I think certainly looking at new designs going forward, a greater emphasis on security during the design process is really important. And that, in some respects, sounds easy, but the reality is that traditionally, a lot of devices, security wasn't necessarily a focus, because from a marketing perspective, security wasn't a feature that necessarily was selling the product. The product was being sold based on other features. So security has to be embraced by the marketing people, by the engineering teams, and by C-level management as a necessary and valid component of my future device design. That will help us for the future all to develop more secure devices and to invest the dollars up front during development. As far as legacy devices and things like that, we're really going to have to think closely about that. And certainly there are standards that we can develop for the future, and we can work as a community. But government regulations and things like that, those are certainly possible, but you're not going to just retrofit or get all these existing devices that were designed. You're not just going to have a government mandate to just sweep them all off the market. And so that represents probably one of the biggest challenges that we're still going to have to figure out for some of those devices.
All right. So, Andrew, let's talk about development processes. So what do you think are the steps to create a more efficient development process for these secure embedded systems?
That's a very good question. And in some respects, my answer, I think, is going to be a little bit counterintuitive. We have to define what we mean by efficiency. From a management perspective, oftentimes managers consider efficiency being how quickly I can get to market, my time to market, how low is my cost of development. When it comes to security and safety, you kind of have to think a little differently. You really have to think about what's the worst thing that could happen if I have these defects or problems and I don't catch them until after my product goes to market. That's often a difficult thing for management to get their hands around, because management is required then to look into the future to something that may or may not happen. And a lot of people will say, well, that can happen to the other guy, but it won't happen to me. So when I talk about efficiency, I talk about spending a little bit more time up front, spending a little bit more money up front in your development process, doing things like coding standards, code reviews, static analysis, other best practices. Because the concept there is, by investing more up front, you're going to save yourself money in the long term. Sometimes it's difficult to quantify how much money you're going to save, because you just never know when that bug or defect is going to come. But I think forward-thinking companies really need to think about efficiency from that perspective. Invest the time, invest the effort up front. Yes, time to market may struggle a little with that. Yes, your budgets may struggle a little. But in the long run, you have to convince yourself, because it's true, that you will end up saving money, because you will not have to deal with those nasty problems that come after you release a product. And research has shown that solving a problem after a product has been released is significantly more expensive than solving it before it's been released.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. This was very informative.
Thank you, Amelia. Have a good day.
Keeping with our IoT theme this week, let me introduce you to this year's Arm TechCon Best Software Award winner, DevicePilot. DevicePilot COO Keith Reed joins us to talk about their cloud-based software that allows designers to easily locate, monitor, and manage your connected devices at scale. Check it out.
My guest today is Keith Reed, COO of DevicePilot. Thank you so much for joining me today, Keith.
Thanks, Amelia. Nice to meet you.
So first off, for my audience who may not know, what is DevicePilot all about?
So DevicePilot is a connected device management platform. If I'm a connected product company deploying devices in the field and delivering a service on them, then I'm going to find, as I get through hundreds and thousands of devices, that just keeping the devices running has become a really significant challenge. DevicePilot's all about automating that process for you to allow you to grow so you can focus on your core business and scale up to the millions of devices that you're aiming for.
All right. So what does DevicePilot buy me as an engineer? What benefits does DevicePilot give me that I couldn't do by building a platform myself?
Well, of course, as a smart engineer, you could build a platform yourself. The question is, should you? I mean, it's a classic build or buy decision. And really, the point about this management challenge is it's a hygiene factor for your product, but it isn't a differentiator. You need to do it, but it's not your core business. So in that situation, as a smart engineer, what you should do is buy in a solution for it, not write it yourself. You should focus your time on the bit where you're delivering your unique value, which is the application you're doing. You're building an application that's going to, you know, revolutionize farming by delivering information to farmers about irrigation and soil quality. Why should you worry about battery levels and things? That's not what you should be worrying your day job on. You should be thinking about your clever algorithm for understanding soil. That's why you know engineers really should buy this stuff in and not write it themselves.
So your software allows designers to easily locate, monitor, and manage your connected devices at scale. So what kind of insights can you gather from your software?
So we take a feed of the same data that you're sending to your application. And obviously, your application is doing your clever thing. What we're looking for in that data stream is, how are your devices performing? Are they sending information in the regular pattern that we expect them to? Are they sending too much data? Is their battery level going down too quickly, more than the rest of the estate? Are the devices up? Are they working? It's all about the insights and around the health of your device estate is the thing that we add. And then we have also the ability to operate and manage your device estate. So proactive management, firmware update, and sort of lifecycle management. So sending the device through its lifecycle, through deployment and into live service, managing that process. And as I say, yeah, managing the health of the software on it is all critical to keep these devices working functionally. We saw a very important security alarm last week. Firmware update has to happen. It has to happen reliably to close security holes. We can help customers see exactly how their firmware update is going, how far through they are, how many devices have not yet received it, and really help get full visibility of exactly what's happening operationally on their device estate.
So this may be circling back a bit, but Device Pilot can work with existing systems that I have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a pure cloud-based service. We don't have client code on the device or the gateway. We operate by taking a feed of the data from the cloud entry point, from where your data arrives in your cloud. It's going into the cloud, then off into your application. And we just take a tap of the same data, as I say, but then we're looking for completely different patterns in that data than you are. We're looking for those operational things. So people can get up and running in with Device Pilot by forking the data over to us in literally minutes. It's a very simple API, very simple to integrate. No need to send code to devices or do any product recall, anything like that. Very easy to get up and running. And then we can deliver those benefits to them very quickly.
So here at ARM TechCon this year, you won an award. Tell me more about that.
We did, yes. Best software product. So it's called the ARM Innovation Challenge. And ARM are looking for products that are, you know, moving forward the challenges that, in particular, IoT, a big focus of ARM this year. And obviously, the judges felt that our product was really, you know, interesting and helped. We integrate very closely with the ARM Embed IoT platform. They've made some recent announcements on their cloud offering. We sit very nicely on top of that, subscribe to the notifications and data out of the back of their platform, and deliver this extra management stuff very neatly on top of their platform.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Keith. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Amelia. Have a good show.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, which is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 28th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton. and you've been fried.